Amen. It is because of heavenly love proceeding from above that we are unable to be here today, that we have the wonderful privilege of being a part of that august body known as the Church of Christ. And it is indeed a privilege that I think many times we take for granted. It is a wonderful and inexpressible blessing that God has saved us and that Jesus has washed us in his own blood. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read. Brother Daniel read for us from Leviticus chapter 8, verses 22 through 24. If you were to begin with verse number 18, you would read about the first ram that was sacrificed. Starting with verse number 22, the second ram is under consideration. And he brought the other ram, that's ram number 2, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. That was a means by which they made identification with the ram. And he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear and upon the thumbs of their right hands and upon the great toe of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Want to talk to you this morning concerning the threefold consecration of God's priests. The threefold consecration of God's priest. Things that happen under the Old Testament law, under the law of Moses, pictured things that would happen and take place under the law of Christ. Those things that happen were typical of things that would take place during the New Testament period. The priest and those who served in the Lord's services, those who conducted the worship services, those individuals were from the tribe of Levi. And all of the priests were from the family of Aaron. Now, in the New Testament age, like Aaron was the high priest under the Old Testament system, Christ is our high priest. And the thing that is different now under the New Testament system as it pertains to the people of God. Every individual Christian is a priest. You are a priest. I am a priest. All of us are priests if we are children of God. And all of us have the wonderful privilege of approaching God through our high priest, Jesus Christ. We don't have to go through some man. We don't have to have some man intercede for us, because Jesus is our intercessor. Jesus is our high priest. Have you ever considered why we word our prayers in Jesus' name? And of course, you don't have to say in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer. You don't have to say Jesus' name at all insofar as praying is concerned, as long as you know and we understand that it is by the authority of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't say Brother Jones said we don't suppose to pray in Jesus. I didn't say that. You know, sometimes we feel that we have to put in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer. You can put it just as well at the beginning of the prayer. You can say, Lord, we come before your exalted throne in the name of Jesus. And when you get to the end of the prayer, you can just say amen. But what I want to emphasize is the fact that all of us are priests. The blood of the sacrifice was applied to Aaron and his sons. The blood was put upon the tip of the right ear, upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the big toe of the right foot. This was the threefold consecration of the holy priesthood. What was the meaning of all of this? The meaning was simple enough. It meant the hearing had been ceremonially purchased by the blood and was now solemnly and individually consecrated to God. It meant the service had been ceremonially purchased by the blood and was now solemnly and individually consecrated to God. It meant the walk of the priests had been ceremonially purchased and individually dedicated and consecrated to God. This enactment, this old enactment, exactly represents our own dedication as New Testament Christians to the service of God and of our fellow men. The touch of sacrificial blood on the ear, the hand, and the foot seemed to say and did say, you have been redeemed for this one end, that you may be holy servants to a holy God. You have been redeemed that you may surrender to him every faculty, every organ, every member, every power that you possess. Your whole self, from head to foot, is to be your Lord. If you have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, it is only that you may serve in newness of spirit both the God who lives above and your brothers and sisters and mankind that live beneath. Our hearing, our service, our walk, all for Christ. For us who believe all of these, Even as all members of our mortal bodies belong to Jesus Christ, who has purchased us with his blood, has bought us from Satan's slave market of bondage and sin by his own precious blood, and from whom we have this urging through the Apostle Paul. And we're familiar with Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, and from whom also, through the same great apostle, we have this exhortation, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And then he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Let us spend a little time talking about the blood on the ear. Moses put of the blood from the ram of consecration upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron and of his sons. God, knowing that we know that the ear is the mysterious home of reverberations and echo, wants our ears to be instruments of righteousness. The ear is the grand central station of sound. The ear, small instrument of music, on which is played all the music you ever hear, from the grandeurs of the summer thunderstorm to the softest breathings of a flute. In the ear, there's the musical staff, lines, spaces, bars, and rests. The ear, a delicate bridge leading from the outside natural world to the inside spiritual world. The ear, wonderful whispering gallery of the soul. Oh, the ear, the God-honored ear, grooved with divine sculpture, poised with gracefulness, upholstered with curtains of divine embroidery. The ear, pillared with divine architecture, chiseled in bone of divine masonry, conquered by possession of divine marshalling. The ear, none but God could plant it. None but God could build it. None but God could work it. None but God could understand it. None but God could keep it. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 12 informs us, to whom the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the law hath made even both of them. And I've always been fascinated by the external structure even, which does not really compare to the internal intricacies and complexities of the inner ear. But even the external ear, now you might feel like some folks' ears look funny. Some folks' ears might look strange. Some folks' ears might stick way out from their heads. But God fashioned, God designed every ear that men possess. Now, I don't know exactly how your ear looks. I don't know if you have funny ears or not. But there's something that all ears have in common. God, in his wisdom, in his architectural magnificence, he structured the ear so that it facilitates the capturing of sound, which travels at some 1,100 feet per second. The ear is again that bridge between the outside natural world that leads to the inside spiritual world. It's a wonderful thing that words that are spoken can be captured and received by the ear. And through the auditory nerve, the message of God enters our minds, and we are able to understand, we're able to comprehend it, we're able to internalize it, we are able to act upon the instructions that are thus given. It's a wonderful thing. It is God's doing, and it should be marvelous in our eyes. Because of the blood upon our ear, we are to recognize that our hearing does not belong to ourselves. We have no right to listen as it may please us. These are things which, if we permit them to enter the ear, will pass into the mind and poison the mind and paralyze all activities for Christ. There's even more peril in listening than in looking and seeing. We are to have the consecrated ear ever open to the heavenly voice, ever attuned to the word of God. But the ear should be closed to the earthly voices that would call us away from truth and ungodliness. An ear sensitive to the quiet whispers of the Spirit, which a dull ear will totally miss. We ought to have an ear gladly listening to the tale of sorrow or distress that comes from the lips of any sufferer or sinner at our side. We are therefore called upon to be careful not only as to how we hear, but as to what we hear. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, Jesus said unto them, "Take heed what you hear." You don't just open your ears for any kind of trash or any kind of vocal garbage. Young people, don't lend your ears to vulgarities and profanities. Don't lend your ears to salacious smut. Don't lend your ears to discouraging and discrediting words that seek to put you down. Don't allow the words of others to define who you are. Don't allow the words of others to call you from the tested path of truth and right. But lend your ears to godly parental counseling. Lend your ears to good advice. Lend your ears to those things which are uplifting, those things which are ennobling, those things which are edifying, those things which are enriching, those things that will make you better. Don't lend your ear to unwarranted and unnecessary criticism, no matter from what source it comes. Lend your ears to wholesome words. Lend your ears to wholesome and uplifting, edifying music. Don't spend your time listening to trash. Don't spend your time listening to rappers denigrate women. Don't spend your time listening to music that glorifies crime. Don't spend your time listening to music that promotes sexual promiscuous behavior. Don't spend your time listening to those who would seek to tear you down. God has blessed you with the marvelous capacity to hear, but take heed what you hear. Jesus also stated in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. You see, nobody can control your hearing but you. And there are some places you shouldn't even be. There are some connections you shouldn't even make if you know that they're going to try to use your ears to gain access to your mind, that they might spew forth their poisonous, damnable, and destructive philosophies. Oh, the ear is a wonderful thing. The blood upon the ear tells us that God claims our ears that they may hear him speak. Listen to his words. Give attention to his message. Wherefore it is written, Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Blood on the tip of the right ear meant that the priest was to listen to only one voice, was to be keenly sensitive to the voice of God. No matter how many clamorous voices were speaking in whispers or in shouts, all believers are kings and priests unto God through Jesus Christ, who loved them and washed them in his own blood. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. God says to believers what he said to the three disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 in verse number 5, when he exclaimed from glory in powerful words, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And significantly, inasmuch as God was well pleased with Jesus and encourages us to hear him, do you know that the Lord will be well pleased with you if you will hear him and heed his word? That makes God happy. That thrills the Lord. That causes the angels in heaven to rejoice when you hear the message of the Savior. Amen. And when you act in humble obedience to it. A blood-anointed ear is required to hearken to divine commandments and divine communication. No other ear really can hear divine communications. No other ear is really familiar with and has appreciation for divine communication. No other ear really is familiar with and appreciative of the divine voice of God. In a real sense, no other ear is able to understand the language of heaven or the voice that speaks in Holy Scripture. And the reason I say that is because of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Psalm 44:1, we have heard with our ears. Revelation 2 and verse number 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The ear is first anointed because one must first hear the word and through it become instructed in the things of Christ. Before one can intelligently act in those things or walk worthy of them. Later I'll deal with the blood upon the thumb of the right hand and upon the big toe of the right foot. But I want you to focus now on hearing. Matthew 7:26, Jesus says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2, son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Some folk don't want to hear what God has to say. Some folks don't want to hear the truth. Some folks don't want to hear words of wise counsel or words offering correction. Some people don't want to hear things that are good, things that are noble, things that are right, things that are positive, things that are beneficial, things that are true. But that's what we should all seek to hear. Remember again the words of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Why not hear him this morning? For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. In order to hear, one has to open his ears and be attentive to that which is taught. You need to hear the glorious gospel of Christ. You need to hear that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You need to hear that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. You need to hear and understand that Jesus was buried in the tomb of the rich man Joseph of Arimathea. You need to hear that on the third day, Jesus rose triumphantly from the grave. Amen. And you need to believe those things, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, amen, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can arise from the watery grave, a brand new creation, ready to live a brand new life. If you're here and you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside, have lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness, your hands which have been purchased by the blood of Christ, if they have rejected the work and service of Christ. Your feet, which have been purchased by the blood of Christ, dedicated to the word of God and to the service of God. If they have left the tested path of truth and right, if they have trampled the holy commandments of the Lord underfoot, then you need to hear again what the Spirit says to the churches. You need to repent of your unfaithfulness. You need to repent of your devilment. You need to repent of your wrong ways and following wrong paths and come back to the Lord. You can do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you're here and need to obey the Lord this morning, we'd like to encourage you to do it right now as we together stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus, he will save you. Throw your sins and crimson foam. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make them white as snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Hey, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, do not.